This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which is, as always, is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name's Tom Ward and I'm joined this evening by David.
Evening, Tom.
Evening, Dave. And I'm also joined by Andy.
Evening, Tom, mate.
Another fantastic week for the Sky Blues saw them all but secure safety with a thrilling 3-2 win away at Stoke on Wednesday, followed by a not-so-pleasing 1-0 defeat to Preston on Saturday. A disappointing result on the day, but obviously Derby did lose to Birmingham, which meant that the Sky Blues have secured their championship status for next season. So yeah, lads, thanks a lot for joining me as always. Andy, you must be absolutely buzzing that we've secured safety.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. Couldn't care less about yesterday, if I'm being honest, Tom. I couldn't give two arses about it, mate. Massively, massive achievement. Those three games, those three massive back-to-back wins secured us championship football next season at the Rico. And no, I couldn't be happier, mate. Brilliant week.
Yeah, I think we had the feeling, didn't we, last week that it was almost there. But just to sort of cap it off with that win on Wednesday was nice, wasn't it? Just have it sort of secured.
It was, mate, yeah. It was a good win, entertaining game as well, wasn't it? Which we'll get on to. But no, really, really good. And the future's bright, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Plenty to look forward to. How are you feeling, Dave, after this week?
Yeah, exactly the same. Preston game was a bit of a formality, really. I don't think either team played well or turned up to really win the game. Game of very little chances, and I think it probably could have gone either way, if I'm honest. So, it would have been nice to have beat them, as nice as to finish as high as you can. But, you know, what a week, really. It's just been absolutely incredible. When you think about the week before, when, you know, it was a bit nervous, we were talking on the podcast, I think we were all confident that we'd still stay up, but it was, you were very much looking over your shoulder and worrying about what other teams were doing. And, you know, we completely took it into our own hands and dealt with it and, you know, secured the championship status. It's an unbelievable achievement by the club, the playing staff, everyone involved, really. I think everyone's had a big role to play in turning around the football club, and it's another successful season in what's been a really, really great, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever at the club. It's just been, you know, nothing short of phenomenal, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yet another brilliant season under Mark Robbins. Let's go into the Stoke game in a little bit more detail. Andy, how did the match stats look?
Yeah, a bit similar to the Rotherham game. Again, we had less possession than Stoke. We had 44% possession. We had 363 passes compared to their 438. So we gave them possession a lot more again, which was similar to what we did against Rotherham and Barnsley. However, again, we had a lot more. We had 11 shots compared to their 13. But the more important stat and the most important stat is that we had 63% shot accuracy this week against Stoke, which is a lot higher, probably the highest we've had maybe all season. So, a lot more shots being created, and we were hitting the target more often than we weren't, Tom. So that was a positive sign. Defensively, interceptions 14 compared to their 20. We made 21 tackles compared to their 11. So that's good. That's a good start as well. We were more at it compared to them in the defensive regions regarding tackling. So, yeah, quite interesting stats there, Tom.
Yeah, definitely. Especially the shot accuracy. I think that's interesting because, you know, that sort of game earlier in the season, if we hadn't taken our chances, we possibly could have come away with a point and been disappointed or maybe even lost the game. But to go and, you know, score three goals away from home is really impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, since the Rotherham game, we seem to be making a lot more chances, don't we? And a lot more shots on goal than we previously have done. And that's been a lot better. And obviously this against Stoke, we hit the target more often than we didn't. So it was much, much improved in that stats. And hopefully going forward, especially next season, we can hear a bit more of an improvement regarding the shot accuracy, because it has been quite low this season.
And Dave, were you surprised to see Matty James dropped for this one?
I don't think I was, really. I think Mark Robbins had one eye on Preston, really. Probably saw the Stoke game as something that it would be great to get something from, but wasn't probably pinning it as one of the must wins to continue on the great run and secure safety. So I think he probably rested him. And I think it was probably right, if I'm honest. It was it seemed like the right time to bring Gus back in. and also the right time to rest him, because, you know, had it have not been the same result that we did get, we probably would have been looking at Preston as one of the games where we, you know, should be securing safety, really. So I think that was a view of that.
Yeah, and obviously he did have to play a big part, as we'll come on to talk about. But we did start very brightly in the game, and we had a big penalty shout in the 13th minute. What did you make of that, Andy?
I thought it was a penalty, Tom, if I'm being honest. It clattered him, really, didn't he? I thought it was a pen. Again, you know, we've had it all season with referee. I don't like going on about referees. I hate it, to be honest, because they're not an excuse. But I do think this season we've not particularly had the rub of the green with the officials. And I think generally just the officials and how they've operated at this level has been dreadful. If you want my honest opinion, it's been really poor. And I think you get better officials in League One and League Two. So, I thought it was a pen, but did it surprise me he didn't give it? No, not really.
Mm. Yeah, me and Dave, funnily enough, just before we came on, we're talking about how poor the referees have been at all levels, really, especially the Premier League and obviously the Carabao Cup tonight. It's just it's just poor, isn't it?
Just like you said about tonight, about the car, he looked half off it, didn't he? Didn't even know what was going on around him. Odd.
Yeah. I think, you know, like we said, the football now, especially the football we've played, but football in general is at its highest. Even if you go to the National League, the standard of football now is so, so high. It's you know, football in England's come on a long, long way, I think. And it's just a shame to see that officiating hasn't matched that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And obviously VAR in the mix doesn't help either. But at least we'd have to worry about that for now, chaps.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe in a couple of years we will.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then one of the, I guess, negative points really from the night was Kelly clattering into the post, and kind of looks like his season might be over now, sadly, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a pivotal part of the team this season, and played some real key, you know, real key role when he's had to. But he's had a bit of an up and down season, as he's been in and out with some injuries, and, you know, obviously the highs of Wickham and his display in the game at Rotherham, you know, against Rotherham. So he's had a bit of an up and down season, but he's a solid player. And we always look a better team with him, and it's not nice to see, but it seems like something he'll get over. It's just time that is needed rather than something more serious. So, he'll come back stronger, and hopefully he's lined up in the Sky Blue shirt next year. So I think we need that experience.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time to get back from that and, you know, get ready for pre-season. So it's probably not the worst timing, is it, really, Dave?
No, exactly. It's again, it's a shame, because I think he could have had he's had an incredible season, even with the part that he's played, but it could have been even better had he have not had some of these injuries. But it does show how much, you know, how much he offers us, I think, as a player. And I think hopefully Mark will be doing what he can with the people upstairs to get maybe eke out another year.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's talk about Ben Wilson's save. Andy, first of all, how many times have you watched it back? And as someone who's played in goal, how good is this save?
Repeat on Thursday, probably 7 or 10 times I've repeated that back, so quite a lot.
The angle from behind was the best one, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was a fantastic angle. And to answer your other question, yeah, this is just all about Alad Williams and his coaching. Yeah. He'd be doing that regularly with the goalkeepers, footwork, getting across his line quick. He'd be doing that on a day-to-day basis. And them sort of saves, when they come off, is just all down to his hard work and Ben Wilson's quality as well. And it was a magnificent save. Probably, I'd even go probably say one of the probably best saves a Sky Blues keeper has made in a decade. Yeah. It was that good.
I can't think of many better.
No, yeah. It was absolutely world-class.
Nothing by Burgey.
Burgey wouldn't have got to it. Oh, dear.
You'd probably be going back to sort of Kieran Westwood sort of.
Yeah,
quality. Yeah, absolutely. It was absolutely unreal by Wilson. And we needed it as well, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, that's it, isn't it? 100%. Because we talked so much about strikers, don't we? And how many opportunities they get to score. As a keeper, last line of defence, you only get a couple of chance, you know, you only get a few to save, don't you, like that? And it's as good as a goal, isn't it? So that's the important thing. You know, you've got to praise them when they do that, because at the end of the day, strikers have a lot more opportunities to score and don't get the same sort of grief, I guess, as keepers get when they make a mistake. So I think it was, you know, you've got to treat it the same way as a goal, really.
Yeah.
And go on, Tom.
No, I was going to say the timing of it in terms of the game. I mean, how many times have we gone behind away from home in the first half and just haven't got back into the game? Like, it was so crucial that we didn't go behind in this game, I felt.
Yeah, I agree.
Saves like that just, you know, just kept us right in it.
Especially with our away record, things like that. If you go 1-0 down away at Stoke, would we have come back? Probably not. So that was such a crucial, crucial save, Tom. Yeah. And brilliant to watch. Great when that happens. Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant save. Then we did take the lead just before half time. It was a great bit of a play by O'Hare and really good positioning from Walker. He sort of really showed that type of striker he is there, Dave, that sort of poacher instinct to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, great finish. Look, what Walker's going to give you, I think the Twitter jury has at times this season been out, hasn't they?
Just a bit.
To put it probably kindly, but for me, I said this at the start of the season, he isn't going to run around and, you know, maybe look as active as some other strikers have. You know, he's not going to chase around like that, but what he does give you is, I think he's, you know, he has got some raw abilities there and he showed it with that, a very instinctive finish. It's just, you know, he's another player coming of age and also of experience. He's a handful of championship, you know, experience really in comparison to when you look at other players around, you know, all of the other clubs at both ends of the table. They've all got strikers that have been there and done it in maybe higher leagues or at least in the championship. And it's going to take some time for all of these players to bed in. And I just think that, you know, Walker also is a bit of a confidence player. I don't think, you know, the way that we've changed our sort of strike force and lineup that often is probably played into that confidence thing. Look, again, we don't know what's on behind closed doors, but he looks to me like a confidence player. And I think these wins perhaps have helped that because I think the whole team and the whole squad probably feel even more together than they've perhaps felt all season. And I think that showed with things like this. We weren't trying these types of strikes, you know, middle of the season when we were sort of scrapping for points and losing 1-0 to a, you know, a sort of soft goal. So I think that's, you know, Walker showed what he does there. He's not going to run around, but it's, you know, give him a sniff and he will do it. And I think he'll grow into a really good player at the club.
Yeah, definitely. And talking of experienced players, Stoke brought on the big guns at half-time. Obviously, John Obi Mikel and also Fletcher as well. And as we remember from the first game against them, Andy, he can be a real handful, can't he?
Yeah, I've seen him play live, Fletcher, and he's really good in the air. Really good in the air. And I'm really surprised he didn't score that goal at the end.
Yeah.
Good save by Wilson, but I think Wilson, it was more at him than anything else. But yeah, I'm really surprised he didn't score because he's excellent in the air. And about Mikel, he's an international footballer, isn't he? So again, that sort of shows where they're at and where we're at. And
at one point, you see Eccles lining up against him. You think that's chalk and cheek. That's both ends of the spectrum, and you just think that's incredible. When I saw that, you know, and I saw him marking, I thought that's, you know, amount of money that guy's made from football compared to perhaps what money Eccles has made from professional football so far. It's just polar opposites, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Stoke did get an equaliser. Did you feel like Hamer could have done better here and sort of cleared it rather than trying to be too clever, Dave?
You know what? People are going to be shouting at me for this, and I'll probably get a bit of Twitter abuse and I'll join Walker for it. But I think, to be honest, if he'd have just cleared it, I think it would have been rebounded. I think it would have been blocked. So what he tried to do, I think, was just quite clever and typical Gus. But he just, he obviously then was going to clear it with his next touch. But he just was a little bit off balance, and then that was it. But at the same time, I think, you know, he showed good composure in that position. I think if he had just kicked it first time, it would have been blocked. You know, who knows what would have happened, but I thought he was a bit unlucky, really. And I mean, Gus 9 times out of 10 would have probably made that look simple and easy and would have cleared it.
Yeah, it's a good finish, wasn't it?
Well, that's it. You don't stop them. Right. You know, that's the other thing. You just don't stop them. That was the thing. The strikes were so clean, weren't they? Once they're away, they're a go. There's only one way they were going.
Yeah, exactly. A bold move by Robbins making the triple change, but bringing on Eccles, Bjarmo and Gyökeres. What did you make of that, Andy?
Not really surprised regarding Bjarmo, because obviously his display against Barnsley, he'd probably feel he was unlucky not to start against Stoke, because he was brilliant against Barnsley, wasn't he? So not surprised with Bjarmo coming on. Eccles, again, it just shows what Robbins thinks of him, doesn't it? Looks he's probably looking to give the lad a little bit more experience. And obviously it was a massive game for him, but not a crucial game in a sense, because we got those two results against Rotherham and Barnsley. So he probably thought to himself, yeah, well, let's give Josh a little bit of a run out and see how he can do and give him a bit more confidence, because I think he'll be playing a little bit more next season, hopefully, because I want to see more of him, because I think he's decent and it's always good to see academy graduate playing, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah.
And Big Vic up front, not surprised, because every time he's come on, he's looked dangerous, hasn't he? And he gets in behind, he can hold the ball up, and that's what we needed at that time. So, no, I thought they were three bold subs, but three good ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And they clearly worked as we got ourselves back into the lead. Dave, how good does it feel to score from a long throw away at Stoke?
Yeah, it's it's beating them at their own game, isn't it? It's very, very. It's a tactic that they used to obviously trot out for years and years and years, and we said about it, didn't we? So scared teams were that they'd rather give away a corner than a throw-in. But you know, this has been a great tactic. We spoke about it before. I think I'd still like to have seen Sam take them on both sides. I think it offers so much, and I think the one thing about the Championship is, defensively, teams aren't that great. That's why Bournemouth are in the playoffs and not in the top two, possibly. Why teams like Brentford are. Teams that defensively, you know, they've got all of these incredible individual talents, but defensively, a lot of them come unstuck. And it just showed here again that, you know, you throw big balls into the box and get them in and pressurising, and that's where the goals come from. And yeah, absolutely fantastic. And a tactic that hopefully will continue once even Sam goes. We'll get the lads on throwing training, I think, down at Ryton. Exactly. They need to replace that.
Yeah. And obviously, it was Max that kind of got the goal, but it was Ostergaard that really made the big contribution, didn't he, with his header?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And he's done that all season. And again, talk about, you know, replacing something at the end of the season, going into next season. It's the same for him. His heading prowess in the opponent's box has been incredible this season. It's been a real danger. And it seemed weird that teams only got switched onto it about halfway through the season, if not three thirds through the season. So again, we need people that can win balls in the air in the box, because we've shown that that's been a big part of the goal, especially in recent weeks. And you know, we need to keep that.
Yeah, it's been interesting that, like you say, people have switched onto it, and you don't often see him on his own at the back post anymore, but they still can't get to the ball, can they? He still gets there.
Yeah, it's just an incredible leap that he's got, isn't it? It's Ronaldo-esque. It's incredible. And he's someone that we're going to really, really miss, unfortunately. But it's been, you know, been a pleasure to have him playing and watching him. And he's given us a really, really, you know, a really good attacking angle from you know, which I think is something that we've not really done that well in the past. I don't think we've ever looked that great from corners and set pieces in the air. And he's given us, you know, that other style of play, and we need to try and replace that, because it's worked really well this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And we weren't ahead for long. Sam Klukas had loads of space to fire home. Were you a bit disappointed with this one, Andy?
Yeah, I was a little bit. A bit De Costa was upfield, wasn't he? And it was a sweet strike, wasn't it, by Klukas? Yeah. It was a great finish.
Another good strike.
Wilson had no chance. The one thing I was impressed with, though, was the people's reaction to the goal. And if you looked at all the other players, they were fuming. And I want more of that away from home next season, because I think we've been too easy to play against this season away from home, too much of acceptance of losing. Yeah. And that showed to me And I think it showed to Robbins after the game as well, because he did mention it as well after his post-match, after the Stoke game, that he was impressed with the way they were reacting to when conceding a goal. They were really, really demonstrating with each other and like not impressed. And I want to see more of that going forward.
We did say that mid-season, didn't we? That, you know, you look at, I can't think, maybe it was even Preston, but in the earlier in the season, but at times you just felt that who was going to be the one that was going to give people a you know, a ticking off if they needed to, who is the one that was going to stand up and say, this isn't it's unacceptable. It's not the level that we should be at. And I think that was one thing that we questioned a bit of the time. We didn't really know where that was coming from, especially with Godden, perhaps would have been quite vocal at times. We knew it would have come from McFadden, but you wouldn't expect it to be coming from many of the new lads. You wouldn't expect it to be coming from perhaps Sam McCallum. So we did always wonder mid-season who was doing that and who was keeping those levels. And yeah, of course, Fads. But a lot of people, you know, there was a few home truths, weren't they, when that goal?
It was. It's setting standards, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah.
And if we're going to want to be competitive at the championship level, then we need those standards, don't we?
Yeah, 100%. You've got to be able to take bollockings, but give them out.
You have, absolutely.
Yeah, completely agree, lads. And the craziness continued. Jokeres sort of seemed like he'd run into no man's land, really. I was sort of screaming at the TV for him to do something with the ball, and he's just gone and placed it in the corner, Dave. Brilliant goal.
Yeah, absolutely superb. Great finish. And when you press pause on the replay, the amount of players that are back, and when he did, you just think, you don't know how it actually happened. And I always say that it's, Jokeres is a funny one for me. I know we put the tweet out on Twitter, didn't we, about would we keep him at the end of the season, you know, if we could, if there was an option to buy or whatever, or would we keep him? It was quite mixed, I think, Candy, on there. But Jokeres, this sounds really bad, not to take anything away from him, but for me, the best way of summing him up is that he's brilliantly awful. And
wow,
that's for me, that's how I'd sum him up, because he runs, like you say, into a bit like no man's land, and then just does that. So, yeah. You know, he's clearly got a lot of talent and he's clearly got an eye for goals. Sometimes he just looks a bit lost, doesn't really know where to run, gets the ball sort of tied up in his feet a little bit, stumbles over it. But then to do something like that, it was just absolutely incredible. And I think he's a player that needs time on the pitch. You know, he's come back, isn't he, off loan. And he needs more time on the pitch, because you can see, especially in recent weeks, that he's been a massive part of all of the, you know, all of the points that we've secured. And kudos to him.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about that sort of debate about whether to keep him as well, because you know, we're not blessed with loads of great strikers, are we? So, you know, you think you've got your four strikers that you're going to have, and we, you know, potentially Bakker might move on in the summer. And you think if it was a replacement for Bakker, it's an improvement, you'd probably say, wouldn't you? You know, when you look at it like that, it's not a bad signing. But
I think, you know, the thing is that a lot, you know, and a lot of people quickly forget about real life football and revert to championship manager style football and say, but he's not going to get us 15 goals a season. But there's not that many strikers in the championship that are going to get you. I think Tyler Walker's now our top goal scorer, is he? Is that correct? Or is it?
I don't know, Dave. Godden, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought Tyler's...
It's Walker with seven and then Godden with six.
Yeah, exactly. Six, but so. It just goes to show with Godden, you know, how many he's on, and he's played a really small part of the season. So I'm not sure that Jokeres, of course, isn't going to be that 15 goal a season. But like you say, we do need some. And he's given us a real different dimension, I think, at the sort of latter part. He's been a great impact sub for me. I'm not sure he's the best. I think he's better coming off the bench, which... is always a bit of a, you know, it's not a nice thing to say about a player, because I don't think, you know, everyone wants to play every minute they can, but he's definitely shown enough that I think, depending on what the commercials are, it wouldn't be a bad signing. It just depends. It's got to be commercially right for us. But if it was, he wouldn't be it wouldn't be a step backwards, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that point about the sort of 15 goal a season striker, I think we already have that in Godden.
100%.
He's got 100%. That in him. And with a full season, I really do believe he'd get that.
Same.
I think Walker, with a year's experience under his belt, could do that as well. I do feel that. How do you feel, Andy?
Well, we're not going to have loads of money, are we? So we're not. No, exactly. How much is a 15-goal striker going to cost? So,
very expensive.
Exactly.
Or injured.
It's yeah. You know, it's not coming it's back not from a happen. Big injury. It's not going to happen, is it? Yeah. So I'm quite happy with what we've got. I think, as Godden, like you said, Tom, if he stays fit, definitely 15 goals there. I think Walker can get 10 and above.
Yeah.
If now he's got another season under his belt, because he's as we can know, he can finish. I think Max does a brilliant job off the bench, and if you need him to come in, I think he does a great job.
I think Max would be willing to do that, squad player.
Yeah,
he would. You know, having spoke to him and also seeing his interviews, and he would do that, which is very rare. I think, you know, it's a lot of players are going to be, of course he wants to play as much as he can, but he does seem not content, but he seems happy to be a squad player and,
right,
and help the team. And you need that, because if you've got four strikers all chomping at the bit to start every single minute of every single game, I just think that sometimes that can put a bit of pressure on the manager. Yeah. Whereas I think Mark knows he's got a really good player in Max that is a great clubman.
And you've got Vic, who's quite fairly young, isn't he? So he'll be looking to willing to learn his trade.
Yeah,
so
I was trying to understand how old is he? How old is
22?
Yeah, and I mean he puts himself about. He's a big lad, but and you know, I mean, no disrespect about Brilliant Awful, it's a joke, but you know, I just think he again needs minutes, because I think it's sometimes he just gets the ball stuck in under his feet and not sure what to do with it. But you know, the skill and the strength and the shot is there to be seen, isn't it?
And I think that, you know, that four is not a bad mix, in my opinion, as long as they stay fit. That's the issue, isn't it? Is, you know, if they can stay fit, I think that four is not a bad mix, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you touched upon it earlier, Andy. Another good save by Wilson late on, wasn't it, to deny Fletcher? Albeit, you know, did go sort of straight at him, but he still had to be aware of it, didn't he?
Great, so good save. Expect him to make it, because he was straight at him. But it was good footwork working across. Footwork, exactly. And he got there. Expected Fletcher to score, because he's really, really good in the air, as I alluded to earlier. However, the marking for this was shit. It really annoyed me, Tom. It was really poor. Mm. No one was marking Fletcher. And you think to yourself, well, Fletcher's, they should know that he's probably the best in the air in maybe the division, let alone the club. Mm. So no one was marking him at all. There was no one near him. So I was a bit disappointed with the marking, and that could have cost us. So I was a little bit annoyed by that.
Yeah, certainly could have late on. In terms of man of the match, Andy, who would you go for?
Callowhair. I thought, again, he was good. Obviously, he assisted the goal for Walker. He had 77 touches, which was the best of our team. Three dribbles successfully, which was the best. And he won four fouls as well. And you know how I like a who scored rating, don't you, Tom? 7.77.
Yeah, I'd hate it if you didn't back it up with a who scored rating, Andy.
I'll always will, mate. Don't worry.
Dave?
I'm going to go for Ben Wilson for... You know, when called into action a couple of times, he is very best, and saved almost a certain goal. And even like you say, that one at the end, that could have been a bit different as well. So I think, you know, there was as good as goals, and he saved us. And yeah, I thought he played really, really well and gets my man in the match.
Yeah, and I think our followers sort of generally agree with you, Dave. There were a few callow hairs in there, but the general consensus was Wilson. I'll just read a few out. Russ Moore said, got to be Wilson. If he hadn't saved that worldie, I think our heads could have dropped. So exactly what we were saying earlier on. John Williams said, Matty James was outstanding, but it has to be the keeper. Some unbelievable saves. Darren Tyman says, Wilson. Tureen Duve, I think it is, says, Ben Wilson, he was superb tonight. Ian Sanderson says Wilson, man of the match. So, yeah, our followers were certainly pleased with Wilson's performance. Another massive, massive win, Dave, to really all but secure safety.
Yeah, unexpected, probably. And I thought that, I wouldn't say Stoke looked like they're on holiday. It's just, it was a funny game, wasn't it? Back and forth and a massive 3 points, and just nice to take even that more pressure off. You know, we'd already secured the win, you know, the wins before, and to go free, that was just, yeah, brilliant stuff. And you know, all like you say, all but secured it, and just remarkable really from when you look at a week prior, incredible result, and really good to just see him keep going until the final whistle. You know, we've struggled to score three goals in three games in some this season. So to keep doing that and keep going, and to use the song "Fight Till the Game Is Won" was what they did, and it was incredible to watch.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We're now going to move on and talk about the Preston game. Sky Blues hosted Preston at St Andrews on Saturday and fell to a 1-0 defeat in, let's face it, not a great game of football. But it did not matter, Dave, because Derby lost and the job was done.
Yeah, an incredible. And we're going to, I'm sure, come on to it towards the end of the podcast. But an incredible achievement by Mark Robbins and like you've already said, all of the playing staff and the backroom staff. It's been a monumental season, not just staying in the Championship, but obviously agreeing what we hear are really good, agreeable terms for a move back to the City. And that's as important as securing Championship safety. But they go hand in hand. I think it would have been a shame to have had League One football back at the Rico. It feels like a really, you know, another really pivotal time, I think, in the club's history, and especially in the club's recent history. So, I think...
Another big milestone, isn't it? And, huge. We won't spend hours on this game because, let's face it, it wasn't great. But, Andy, what were the match stats?
Quite interesting stats, Tom, if I'm being honest, because it was a bit back to type, really, of what we've been doing before the Rotherham game. We had more possession than them, which was 60% possession. And we had 349 passes compared to their 237. So we had a lot more possession than them. However, the same old story. We had 10 shots with 10% shot accuracy. So, yeah, obviously, you know, it was keeping the ball nice, pretty football. But when we got in position, we didn't hit the target. And we've said that quite a lot. That lack of cutting edge at times has been our downfall at times this season. So a bit revert back to type. Regarding the defensive situation, very similar. 74 duels won compared to their 64. So nothing really to report on the defensive side of things. But yeah, quite interesting in this type that we had more possession this time.
Yeah, and there was a good chance of Biamu in that first half, this time from a short throw. But good work again from O'Hare, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it was. Really, really good work. Cal O'Hare's been great all season for me. I think he's been a standout player. I think he's been absolutely outstanding, what he contributes to the team going forward and also defensively as well. I think he's been brilliant. And yeah, he put it on a plate for Max. And the thing with Max, if he went with his studs, he would have scored.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Yeah. He went with the insteps of his foot and it just rose and into the stand behind the goal. But if he would have gone with his studs, it would have gone in, it would have been a goal. So a little bit disappointing by that. And to be honest, he'll be disappointed with that. He should have scored, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't a particularly inspiring first half, and you could almost sense that we felt we got the job done, Dave. And I think something that Mark Robbins alluded to was that we were lacking a bit of energy, weren't we?
Yeah, look, it's been a really, really busy period. And it almost felt like after the performances that they've put in the last couple of weeks, it felt like they're on a bit of a, you know, a bit of a hangover, bit of a, you know, a come down from the euphoria that was, you know, the recent weeks, especially from Stoke and Rotherham. So I think that probably showed. I think there was a few tired legs out there. But it just had that air about it, the game anyway. It was, wasn't much chances. No one could really get a solid foothold in it. And like I say, I didn't think that it would have took much for either team to have won it. And that's probably what it showed in the end.
Yeah, definitely. What did you make of their penalty, Andy?
Which one?
Well, the one that they actually got.
Both Stonewallers.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got away with the first one, but he did. Because that was a pen, and the second one, he called for it, and Higham left it for him, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it was just a mess, wasn't it? And I think the pitch was quite hard. I know that. I think he just misjudged the bounce of the ball, and he got himself in a real mess. And it was a penalty, and it was a bad call, bad judgment by Wilson, and he'll take that on the chin. But no, not very impressive.
one positive from the game was obviously Dabo being back on the pitch, and nice to see, really, because he's had a tough season, hasn't he, Dave, with his injuries?
Yeah, definitely. Look, he's one player that it's not going to matter as much that he's missed out quite a bit of this season. I think a lot of the players coming up from the League One team needed experience in the Championship. I'd say he's probably someone that fits into the Championship probably straight away anyway. So I don't think that's going to cause him too many issues when they, you know, when they start again next season. And it's just a great chance now for him to get really, really fit and fully fit. And, you know, he's got a couple of reoccurring injuries. I know the back is one, isn't it? And so let's just hope that he can get fully, fully fit, because I think he's probably one of our, I think he's one of our prize assets at the club. And I think he suits the Championship so much. He's a class act, and that's why I'm not too concerned that he's not had loads of time this season, because I think he's good enough to slip straight into that standard, regardless of when he's ready to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy, were there any standout performances for you in that game?
Matty James, I thought he kept going. I thought his quality was there on show. I thought he had a decent game. Callow Hare, flashes of quality, but not really, Tom.
No one particularly stood out, did they?
Not particularly. It was just a dead game, weren't it? Yeah. It was just a complete end of season, everyone's on holiday kind of game. So, yeah, and because it's all that energy we spent up in those three big wins. We just didn't have anything left in the tank, did we, Tom?
No, exactly. It makes you wonder what next week will be like away at Huddersfield. You know,
we're having a boycott, so it's fine, mate. We won't be covering it. Yeah, so don't
worry about it.
Probably come at a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dave, was there any sort of standouts for you in that game?
Again, probably the same. James always does enough to get a mention on the Man of the Match section. And Callow Hare, likewise, generally does enough to be in contention as well. And I think both of them probably were the best of the bunch. And on that, you know, I think next week we've got to, you know, let's give Bakayoko a run out. Let's give Eccles a run out. Let's give Jordan Thompson perhaps a run out if we can. I'm not saying that we want to go and get smashed.
Can't with Thompson, Dave. He's gone out on loan.
Oh, of course he has. Sorry. Yeah, of course.
Oh, you could bring him back for the afternoon. Yeah,
well, maybe. Unlikely. But yes, you know, give some of those players, especially Eccles.
Definitely.
I think I'd like to see him feature. And even, you know, some more, you know, that they played. I think, you know, I'm not sure if the 23s have played their last game. I know the 18s have, haven't they? Yeah. But I'm not sure if the 23s have played their last games. But regardless, you know, promote a few of them, the ones that you're interested in keeping and know that they're going to bring through. Because just by that, minutes on a pitch will let them know that they're in Mark Robbins's mind for, you know, the next season. And it would be a nice way for them to then go into the summer break knowing that they're at a club where they're going to get some opportunities perhaps the season after. Because, you know, we need it. We need squad rotation. Mm. We need a big... If this season's taught us anything, it's told us that we've been light in some positions. Yeah. And when January came round, we had to go... luckily we did, but we had to go and dig deep, really, to go and get some more players. And great business that we did, but perhaps we might have a few of them more lined up perhaps at the start of the season. Unlucky with injuries, and we could go into that, but you know, that squad depth is really important. So let's give, it's not giving the kids a run out, let's just tell the ones that are perhaps in Mark Robbins' mind, that give them some minutes so they can look forward to the break knowing that they're going to be a, you know, playing a part the season after.
Yeah, absolutely. Just wanted to talk a little bit about Mark Robbins' post-match interview. So obviously, it was sort of widely shared around social media. For anyone who didn't sort of see it or didn't see the sort of main quote from it, I'll just read that out. He said, "What we've achieved is nothing short of a miracle. It's absolutely huge. This is the biggest achievement I've had in my managerial career." So brilliant words there, aren't they, from Mark Robbins, Andy?
Fantastic, and absolutely on the money as well. I said at the start of the season and through the season that if we managed to stay up, it would be his biggest achievement. And it has been. He's come over so many hurdles this season. There was obviously, we finished playing Ipswich in March. Yeah. You know, then our first pre-season game was Rangers. So there was months gap there.
Yeah.
Then you had to deal with all the COVID situation, all the injuries we've had. All the players that Are they championship standard or are they not championship standard? You know, he spent a little bit of money on Hamer and Walker, but not a great deal, probably the lowest budget in the division. And he's kept us in the division.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Just absolutely incredible by Mark Robbins. And he is our Jimmy
Not been
Hill.
In the bottom three, you know, not been in the bottom three all season. As much as we'd like to think we've been skirting with it or flirting with it, or whatever you
want
to say.
Dave. Good point.
We've not been in the bottom three all season.
We've been within a couple of points of it, really. I mean,
not really.
No, not really.
No, and the way he changed style as well, which really impressed me, because I think initially he wanted to play the same style as what we did in League One.
Yeah.
And he soon realised that, especially at the business end of the season, that we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the players to play out from the back.
The Twitter jury, wasn't it? I think, again, we're out on his tactics. What is he tactically astute for the Championship was what I was reading mid-season. Mm. Andy, weren't we? We were seeing that. But you're absolutely spot on. Those recent games, the way he changed his tactics to suit those different games was really, really showed him as the tactical manager that he can be.
Absolutely, Dave. Absolutely spot on with the change of tactics, and for us going more direct, stop messing about so much at the back and playing two up top.
That high line against Rotherham.
That high line, yeah. He got it absolutely spot on. And we are very, very lucky as a club to have him as a manager. Very lucky.
Mm. Yeah, we certainly are. I thought another interesting thing that I picked up from his interview was saying that this was a bigger achievement than winning League One. And I suppose for all those things you've just mentioned, Andy, you know, when things are going well and you're going to sort of win a league, maybe it is a bit easier. And like you say, all those sort of setbacks we've had, it definitely is a harder sort of thing to achieve, isn't it?
It's the standard, Tom. League One standard compared to the Championship is night and day. The leap between League One and the Championship is near enough as big a leap as the Championship to the Premier League. So it's just absolutely huge in standard, in wages, in budgets. And that's the difference. And the standard and the way that the players have gradually, not been an easy watch at times, has it, lads? have gradually warmed to the league. It's been brilliant. And credit to Mark Robbins, but also credit to the players. They deserve the credit more, because they've had to do it on the pitch. And they've been excellent, and they've adjusted to the Championship from League One brilliantly.
Yeah. And Dave, how tough do you think this summer transfer window is going to be? Because, you know, we've talked a lot on the podcast and the lives about this year just being about scraping survival. And obviously, we, you know, our squad was good enough just to do that. But in our next phase of progression, you know, it's quite a tough one, isn't it? We've got to add a lot of quality. And if we want to establish ourselves, it's going to be a big window, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shark infested mess with agents, you know. But what Andy mentioned there about the fact that, you know, we've stayed up this season and Mark Robbins has kept us up. And when we look at it, this weekend could have gone a little bit better, but hopefully when we look at it, we'll be, you know, a couple of positions off. And I think that makes us more attractive in the summer than we looked this summer. You know, most people joining would have been thinking, I'm joining a team that possibly likely next season are going to be in League One. You know, do I want to commit to a 2-3 year contract at a club that, albeit they're going into the Championship this year, but unlikely to be staying there? You know, because I think if you had to have looked at teams that were going to go down, we would have been on, you know, most people's lips. So I think we're a lot more attractive than we were, you know, going into the Championship this season. So it's going to be a huge, huge window. You know, I'm not sure what the budget is going to be there, but definitely from an attractive point of view, we've gone back to the Rico, you know, possibly financially, we're going to be in a bit of a better position. You know, there's an argument to know whether COVID's actually helped us, but also it's going to be difficult to challenge with those other teams that I think, with fans back in the ground and extra revenues for a lot of these Championship sides, that they will put their hands in their pocket, possibly more than they maybe did this season, with knowing that incomes are going to change and probably be a little bit more healthier. So, it's going to be really, really difficult. And he's going to really need the team that he's got, Chris Badlin and the rest that have done a superb job this season, but they're going to have to go out and do it all again, this summer, because there's definitely a few things that still need to change, and we definitely need a little bit more experience in there. But I think we're a lot more attractive than we were last season. I think that's really important. You know, budget aside, I think we can attract a better quality of player than we perhaps could have going into the Championship this season.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, as we've heard, from a lot of conversations, the targets obviously set quite well in advance. And I imagine there's probably a whole load of players that they're targeting in the summer already. But Dave, who would, what positions would be top of your list?
Centre back.
Yeah,
would be my top priority.
Okay.
That's obviously on the basis that I think we will and hope we will keep Matty James, but actually going out to the market is a centre back, and that's nothing against the lads that we've got now. I just think that what we did see is when Fads really stepped up and led that line in those last three games like a leader, and he was on everyone. He kept everyone up to their work. He made sure everyone was in line. He made sure everyone moved at the right times. But we need that week in, week out. And of course, Ostergaard is going to go out. And he's been a massive player for us this season, especially defensively. And we're going to have to replace that with a very similar quality, and that's going to be difficult to do. But I just think defensively, I think this season at times we've let ourselves down a little bit. We've not been, attacking prowess hasn't been amazing, but I think we've given games away that could have been a point, that have been losses, or wins that have turned into draws or even losses. And that's generally been just because of maybe a bit of experience, but just not having that solid defensive partnerships. And I think that's something that we will need to address. And that's taken nothing away from the lads this season, but I do think it's I think defensively we need to have a really, really strong centre back that can lead that line.
Yeah. Andy, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with Dave. I think we do need a centre back, well, maybe a few. And I also think the left back situation is an issue. If McCallum doesn't return, we've got no left back, left wing back. So that's an issue as well. So definitely centre back and a definitely left wing back would be my top of my list. We have to retain James. We have to try and get Kelly signed as a new contract as well, in my opinion, because I don't think we'll be seeing Ben Sheaf again at the club. I don't think we'll be able to see him again. So yeah, definitely centre back and the left wing back situation. I think they're the main areas that we need to look at. But don't be surprised if Mark Robbins makes some big calls this summer regarding certain people that are very, what shall I say, have been with us for a while and that go. Because he has, he's one. Maybe Kelly, maybe McFadzean. I tell Backer, definitely, because Robbins is all about progression and he has no sentiment.
He's quite ruthless, isn't he?
He's very ruthless and he has no sentiment. So if he thinks that the player's not up to it, he'll get rid of them.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it from I think it was when we got promoted from League Two, and he was quite ruthless then, wasn't he, in getting a new team in.
He was.
Signings he made in the summer, actually, that summer.
When what happened to Michael Doyle?
Yeah.
Got rid of him halfway through a season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he doesn't think he's doing it and he's not playing well and he thinks that we can progress with other players, he will get rid of them, no question.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's going to be an interesting summer, isn't it, regarding that?
Yeah, it will be interesting. Ross and Matt were obviously discussing it on the live. The two they were really talking a lot about was Matty James, obviously, as we've mentioned, and also a lot of talk about Ostergaard as well. Mm. And, I'm not sure if we can keep both of them, but if we could, that would be a real sign of intent, wouldn't it, Andy?
I'd be happy with Jay. I don't think Ostergaard, I'm with Dave on this. I can't see Ostergaard coming.
Another loan though, possibly?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I don't know. We don't know what Brighton are doing with him, do we? Are they going to give him an extension or not? We don't know what's going to happen on that situation.
I think he might move on from Brighton.
If I was in.
But then
the only thing I would say is his post-match interview. And that was really interesting.
And his tweet.
And that was really, really interesting. And it's just a money thing. You know, it's whether I'm sure they're working on it and it's whether they can, but I can't see it happening personally. I also think he's quite an attractive, you know, buy for quite a lot of championship teams, to be honest. And I think with probably slightly bigger budgets. And well, not slightly, they're all going to have bigger budgets pretty much. So I just think that money talks, doesn't it? And unfortunately, who can blame them? You know, it's a short career. And
of course, but I think, if he stayed at Brighton, we might have a chance of getting him back on loan, possibly. That might be our best bet of him playing for us next season. I think we've got quite used to over the years, especially in League One, where we'd have a season of a good player and then obviously we wouldn't go up and then they deserve that chance in the Championship. I'm not sure he's ready for the Premier League yet.
No.
So if he stayed at Brighton and they want to send him out to the Championship again, a bit like the McCallum situation, you know, why not just to send him back to Coventry?
Better do.
So that possibly could work to our advantage. If he gets let go, like you say, there's a whole raft of teams who can afford to pay whatever it is.
Also, though, he would know that, and he has stated that he wants to play first team football. So he knows that he's going to get that at Coventry.
Yeah, of course.
A bit like Callum O'Hare last season. Yeah, when he left Villa.
Agree. Yeah. So, it's just a money thing, isn't it? Can we get the money right? That's all it is. And sadly, if we're up against a couple of teams,
Brighton might keep him. I mean, you know, they've brought through some brilliant centre backs, haven't they? You know, Dunk, and there's Ben White as well. Ben White obviously had his loan spell at Leeds and did brilliantly well. I don't know whether that works to our disadvantage because they've got too many, but they seem to like bringing those players through. They don't sign them; they bring them through. So, I don't know.
It's more it feels like. I don't, because he was due to have contract talks, wasn't he? And he hadn't signed a new contract, and that's what I'm thinking. Whether he's trying to force a permanent move of some sort, even if he then thinks that's away from the Premier League, maybe he's got enough confidence in his own ability that he'll make it regardless if he has to take a step back to go forward. Who knows? But it certainly seems like he seems ready to leave Brighton from what I've kind of read and what I've seen, but I don't know. We'll have to find out in the summer, won't we? It's an interesting one.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Andy, you just mentioned a few names there on the outgoing list. Dave, who do you think might be leaving the club in the summer?
Yeah, I think Andy was pretty much right. I think Shipley will go. I think Jamie Allen will probably go.
Interesting one, forgot about him for a second.
Yeah. Of course, I think Ben Sheaf, I don't think his deal will turn into a permanent one. Bakayoko, as much as you need squad players, I think he would probably look to youth rather than, you know, for this squad rotation makeup rather than that. And I think Max has done such a job this season that, and you know, again, going in, he'll hope that Godden stays fit. He's got Walker, so he probably only needs one more. And I can see Bakka going. I wouldn't be surprised to see Morosi. I don't know his contract status.
Interesting one, yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised to see Morosi.
There's been a lot of goalkeeper chat as well, hasn't there, over the last few weeks? And obviously, it's been a strange one, really, because Morosi was on and born at the start of the season. Wilson's probably played the majority of the games by now. He must have done.
I mean, how many changes is he actually going to make? I mean, I don't know, eight players or so?
What's a turnover?
Yeah, I would have thought so. You're probably looking at, you know, between six and eight players, something like that. So, yeah, you know, Allen, Shipley, Bakka, He would have already accounted for the fact that McCallum's going back, and Ostergaard's probably going as well. So I think you've, outside of those two, I think you've still got six, seven, even eight that will go. I don't think Rose will leave. I think Rose has done enough this season, especially with injuries, enough to show that he can play at this level. Yeah. And same with Dom. Definitely, I think Shipley and Allen would probably be players that I think will leave from that middle of the park.
Mm. And just moving on a little bit, there's another update from the club over the weekend around the sort of memberships that they'd sold out. 8,000 sold. It's a fantastic effort, isn't it, Andy, considering the circumstances?
Brilliant. Yeah, considering people with COVID and being made redundant and, you know, the whole fear of the economy. Yeah, fantastic. It just shows the support base we've got as a club, doesn't it, Tom? We've got a great fan base, and I can only see, why wouldn't you, as a fan, tap into it? You know, why wouldn't you want to go and see Robbins' side play at the Rico? You know, I can't wait for next season to get down and seeing a few games, because it's the club's going forward, it's going places, and why wouldn't you want to be part of that journey?
Yeah, it's such a different sort of time, isn't it, to when we were last, well, definitely since we were last at the Rico, but even since we were last in the Championship, because we're definitely on a downward trajectory then, weren't we? And it was a very miserable place. There was a lot of hate towards the owners and stuff like that. But, you know, there's not many things to be negative about nowadays, is there really, Andy?
Not really. I don't think so.
Just the odd loss or the odd, you know, bit of Tyler defending. But that's
Tyler Walker can't hit Cow's backside, yeah. Apart from that, yeah, to moan about. No, I think it's all positive. You know, Dave Boddy's done a great job as well.
Yeah, terrific.
Getting us back at the Rico. His role at the club can't be underestimated as well. It's all positive, and, you know, I can't wait for next season. I can't wait for the kit launch. I can't wait for the team photo. I can't wait for everything next season. And, yeah, really excited, Tom. Happy days.
Yeah, absolutely. And assuming everything is back to normal in terms of COVID, Dave, what sort of crowds do you think we can expect next year?
Well, you know, I don't want to have a little moan. I think Coventry, sadly, is probably, I think we've underachieved in terms of gates and crowds. You know, over the years, you know, even thinking back to Highfield Road days. But the value in this membership at £13 a game, and I know there's extras, and I know people have got to park and they've got to, you know, drive to the game and they've got to buy some food and whatever, but you think about what, you know, people consume on a weekly basis of £13. You know, you're talking about fast food takeaways, or, you know, a round of drinks, cigarettes. You know, you only have to really compare £13 for Championship football back at the Rico. We should be there in our absolute droves, because we need it. The one thing that the Rico has struggled to be is a fortress, isn't it, at times? And it's also struggled to sometimes generate the atmosphere that perhaps I think we used to think we had at Highfield Road, but I don't think we always did. But I think that's what we've got to do. The community and the city have got to come back now and be proud of the club that they've got in Coventry, because it's the best time that this club's, you know, this the club is going through its best period, I think, in history for a long, long time. And we've got to get back there and we've got to support them, because the only thing that's going to help this club grow is more revenues, which, you know, and again, I know it's difficult, people with COVID and all of that, there's been people in job losses, and I know there's more serious, but this is the time that we've got to really, you know, take it and run with it, because I think, you know, we've established ourselves this season in the Championship. We've, you know, everything is so positive. We're back at the Rico. The club financially and commercially, sorry, is in such a good state. I mean, the shirts that we've done this season and the last few seasons, they've never been better. They've outsold year on year, which shows, you know, all of those things are really important they're revenues and finances that you just forget about. We talk about these new agreeable and better commercial terms that we've got for food, drink, parking, and what have you at the Rico. Again, absolutely going to be monumental, because when we go to the transfer window this summer, those forecasts and projections of what, you know, of the season tickets that we sell, that's what's going to drive the club sitting up and going, I think it's willing to spend a little bit more. Let's get into the kitty a bit more, because we know that we've got that those revenues coming back. And, you know, I think it would be great. I think it will probably be around average out at about the 15-16k mark. But I think
which
that's
not bad, really, is
no,
it?
Which isn't bad. And that's what it, but it should be more. It should be 18, really, in my opinion. But, you know, I think, you know, 15, 16 is probably what I expect if they're allowed. But it, to me, it should be 18, 19 should be the average gate. And that's what we've got to try and do. And how great is it for the surrounding area as well to get that income, get them revenues back? You know, it's been a tough time for everyone, but especially businesses that have been around the Rico and around the city centre. Let's be proud of our city, and let's inject the money into it that you know we need to, because everyone, and I mean everyone in that city, if they do make the Premiership again, will all reap the rewards from it. Yeah. Because I tell you, when a club is in a Premiership, even Championship's going to see a lot more fans come the other way. But if a club's in the Premiership, you know, we've heard, haven't we? We on the price of football, they talk about Blackburn and areas like that that were thriving. Middlesbrough, when they're in the Premiership, were absolutely thriving. And they see that decline and drop off when they drop down the leagues. And that's what we need to do.
Yeah, exactly. Just talking about that support thing, I think if you look at some of the clubs that have been in our position down in League One, if you think about teams like Norwich, Wolves, Sheffield United, there's one common theme running through them. They've all been supported fantastically, you know, in League One, in the Championship, and obviously in the Premier League. You know, it definitely helps. I know the landscape's changing in terms of finances, but yeah, you know, if you can be saying...
make no crooks about it. It's been a very difficult time to be a Coventry City supporter, and I feel as desperate for everyone else when we were moved to grounds outside the city, extra travel, all of that. But what a chance now we've got to show that we're proud of the club and what they've done, and back it and get behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of If you could pick a dream first game back at the Rico, Andy, who would you want?
Someone local, someone like Forest at home for the Rico, with their big away following. Local derby, that'd be nice, wouldn't it, Tom? I think that'd be a good one.
Yeah, I'll do. What about you, Dave?
You know, I think the team, it doesn't really matter. I think it's going to be an absolutely amazing occasion. I for one can't wait for it. It's going to be a sea of sky blue. It will be. Ooh. It is going to be absolutely electric. It's going to feel like the time when we first went against QPR. You know, it's going to feel like when we left Highfield Road. I think going back, I think we're going to see banners, signs, flags, balloons. I think it's going to be a really, really fantastic, you know, a really fantastic event. And I think that the club's got to do as much as they can on that first, you know, that first one, when clearly the gate, if allowed, is going to be high. You know, it's probably going to be mid-20s, probably, I would say, because it is. It's the first game back. And they've got to do something on that match day. They've got to change that match day experience enough to get people to want to come back. I'm not sure we always done that in recent years. And like you say, it was a bit negative from the owners. We're in a very different than perhaps we were. And I don't think it matters about the fixture, but I think it's going to be an absolute incredible day. And I would just urge as many people to get themselves up there and enjoy it, because it's been a long time coming, and it's nothing short of what the people of Coventry deserve.
Birmingham would do, wouldn't it? Birmingham at home?
Yeah.
Take that.
That'd be a good one, yeah.
That'd be definitely a good one. That's all we've got time for this evening. Thanks very much, chaps, for joining me as always. And listeners, do check out our partners, Shortland Horn, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And as always, if you would like to get involved in the conversation on anything we've discussed in the show, just make sure you use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.